There's so many things I could. Am I on so I can move that? Okay. So many things we could go with this, and it's one of those subjects that there's so much talk about it, but very little understanding of what worship is. Most of what is called worship today doesn't even resemble biblical worship. And I've been just sharing with you in the last half of the summer, at least, the necessities of true worship. Let's see how well we can do here before I read the verse that I want to read this evening. Necessity of God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The biblical worship has five main ingredients that we've been talking about. We're going to get to the last one tonight. The first one was what? Transformation. You need to be saved. And you need a transformation is more than salvation. That's where it starts. Every day, our worship, part of our worship is that transforming, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Secondly, it is what? Starts with a C. Communion, or communication, prayer, Bible reading. And so many people that I meet in modern Christianity, I'm not hopefully talking about anybody here, but it's so easy to be affected by this mentality without realizing it, that they talk about worship and praise, and they're in this praise group and everything else, and well, how's your prayer life? Well, we always pray. Well, what about your Bible? Well, we don't read the Bible. We've read it before. How's your Bible study? How's your Bible memorization time? You know, one thing I like about the old-time hymns is there's so much Bible in them, so much true biblical doctrine in them, because they understood what it was to give themselves. And even reading old materials and old sermons, there's so much Bible in them. And today it's a lot of pop psychology and everything else. But number three, the first time the word of worship is used in the Old Testament and the New Testament has to do with what? Giving. Giving is a foundation in worship, one of the main ingredients of worship. And then last week, I appreciate those that were on the worship team yesterday that came and helped unload the truck. And by the way, there's a whole bunch of produce, a whole bunch of stuff that's going to go bad before we can get rid of it. So anything you want. And then, of course, I got some more melons out of our garden. I didn't have much time to stop and eat today, but I had a personal size cantaloupe. There's some of those in the kitchen that came from our garden. They're just the right size for one person. Lunchables. Lunchable cantaloupe. And last year I didn't do the watermelon. Actually, the watermelon I tried last year got overtaken by the pumpkins in the pumpkin patch, but I only got one watermelon, and it was just this big. It was a lunchable watermelon, just enough for about five bites inside of it, but it was great. But this year, we left a little more room for it. But anyways, thank you for serving yesterday. That's one of the ingredients. That's one of the main ingredients of worship. Serving, doing something. That's why I don't like to call it a worship service, because we're not really doing much. We're coming, and I prefer to call it a preaching time. A Bible study time. And I think some folks are entertained and they think that's a worship service. And that's very little. And I'm grateful when folks come from different backgrounds. And I, of course, all of us have got family members that are involved in modern churches that have the contemporary style service, whatever you want to call it. I don't care for that term contemporary, but that's usually what we call it. And they come in and to our service, and they say, "Wow, something very unique about your church. People are singing." That's because we sing instead of having an entertaining group up here. That's the way it used to be. We got this mentality. We got things all backwards. So now, let me say this before we get to the last one that we're going to cover tonight very quickly. And again, this one is the one that everybody thinks of when they talk about worship, but it's only a very small part of worship. We're going to show you some things this evening. To focus on one or just a couple of these main ingredients of worship and forsake the others would be missing out on what true worship is all about. And I say that because most people, when they talk about worship, they're talking about Roman numeral 5 and not 1, 2, 3, and 4. that we've talked about already. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 150 this evening. Psalm 150. And actually, we're going to read two psalms this evening. And tonight, Roman numeral 5 is praise and adoration. That's what most people think of when they talk about worship, of praise and adoration. Psalm 149. I haven't been giving you a memory verse on here. That's my bad. I should be giving you a memory verse every service. I do that in Sunday school, and some people don't know I do that. But we even take time to see if you memorized it. But I haven't been giving you one on Wednesday. We'll start that when we start King's Kids. When we do the adult King's Kids, we'll give you a memory verse each Wednesday night again. But here's a great verse, but let's get a running start when we get to Psalm 150 and verse number 6. In fact, let's go back a few steps to Psalm 149 and verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of His saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in the glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand. That's the Bible, by the way. And to execute vengeance upon the heathen and the punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. By the way, that's talking about the power of prayer and the Word of God in the hand of a true servant of the Lord. Verse number 1 of chapter 50. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him in the mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the timbrel, the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We can actually go back a number of psalms. The last section of psalms is psalms of praise and exalting praise and adoration of the Lord. And by the way, we're Baptists. Don't let that dance scare you. All right? How do you define dance? I was asking these guys, and they haven't got that far yet. Pretty soon these guys are going to look like freshmen in Bible college during the song service. I was looking tonight to see if you started. We haven't got far enough in that class to start doing that. What's that look? Go to any Bible college, and you can pick out all the freshmen in chapel because they're all doing this. Because they're learning how to lead songs. and by the way, that's moving with music. That, by definition, is dancing. Well, we don't dance. You have a song leader doing this, don't you? And a marching band. How many went to the parade the other day at Depot Days? Oh, Elizabeth did. She came back with a grocery sack. Or Adeline, she's sleeping. She ate too much of the candy. She songed out. She had a grocery sack full of candy. And she only got me a couple of them. But still a little bitter about that. And I even bought a funnel cake to share with her. But she wouldn't give me any of her candy. But that marching band comes along. And in the back of the band is this guy with that great big old drum. Boom, boom. Why is he doing that all the way through the band? How do they keep in step? Every time he, boom, that's left, left, left. And if they didn't have a band, they would have some. And they're moving to the music. That's what a marching band is doing. So don't let that dance scare you. We dance and, you're tapping your toe. That's wicked. But everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I heard a preacher say this once, and I like it. Everybody do this. Inhale. Exhale. You qualify. Praise the Lord. Now let me just give you some things here, and I'm going to hurry through this. There's so many things I could, rabbits that I could chase because I love this subject, but we're just going to go through it very quickly. This, when we're talking about praise and adoration, this is not just about music. It's not just about music. And I've been saying this all along that we've We talk about worship music. We talk about the worship team that sings. And we have a style of worship music. And we say, well, all worship, we use those interchangeably. Much of the worship in the Bible does not include any music. There's no music at all. But for some reason, we've got that mentality that worship is music. Now, the lesson tonight's not about music, and I'm glad it's not because, you know, music is a sensitive subject, and most people don't listen to anybody when they talk about music unless it's somebody they agree with. You ever notice that? It's kind of like the news and the internet today. You only read what you agree with. And the music, because that's such an emotional thing and it stirs our emotion, that's exaggerated in that. We've got our mind set up, we've got our mind made up, and I'll only listen to you if you tell me what I want to hear, like counseling today. Speaking of news, it's just the news story this week, the big thing everybody's talking every time I turn the radio on, I get so sick of hearing it. The Amazon rainforests are burning up. How many of you heard that? I could use Donald Trump's words and say that's fake news, but you heard it on reliable sources. Everybody agreed. I read a great article the other day that saying that there's less fires in the Amazon rainforest this year than there has been for the last 3 years. But it fits the agenda of people that want to get you worried about the global warming. In fact, another article was saying that what they're doing there, and they're burning them on purpose. They're developing the land to farm, just like we did 100 and 200 years ago in America when we destroyed the plains of America, when we destroyed all the wetlands in America. And we did the same thing. If you had a choice, either burn the rainforest or starve to death, what are you going to do? Save the planet or save your family for another meal today? But folks will put what they want and people hear what they want to hear. And when it comes to music and worship music especially, it's the same thing. You hear what you want to hear and you'll agree with what you want to hear. So I'm not talking just about music tonight, but I am talking about worship and praise. And the next statement there, praise, worship, and music are not synonymous. Music is often associated with praise, but praise does not have to be musical. You know, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Kira did a good job tonight, didn't she? Did you notice I said that when she got down? And I praised her, but I didn't have any music. I'm going to make it a music. Kira, you did a good job tonight. You know, it's got to involve music. Isn't it crazy that we think that's the way that we ought to praise God with our words, without music? You know, worship Him without music. You don't do that in your home, do you? You ought to praise your children once in a while, but your home's not a musical, is it? Todd and Amy, with Todd, I believe it is. But they're not synonymous. Music is a small part of biblical worship, but it also includes praise and adoration. Now here's something that I love to point this out. All of God's creation praises Him. I love to enjoy listening to God's creation praising Him. Isaiah 50, let me just give you a couple of verses that I think of often. I had to jot them down so I could quote them right. Isaiah 55:12, for ye shall go forth with joy and lead forth in the peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You ever hear the trees clap their hands? Today was a great day to listen to the trees clap their hands. To hear the music of the trees, to hear the praise and the adoration. Luke 19 and verse number 40, remember Jesus came into the Jerusalem with the triumphal entry, and the religious crowd condemned the people that were crying out, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And Jesus answered the people that were critical of those praising Him. He said, I tell you that if these would hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You ever hear the stones praising God? All of creation praises God. And Psalm 104, I love this. The young lions who roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. And that's just, by the way, we picture that when lions attack you, they're going to roar. No, they attack you after, or they roar after they attack you. After they kill you. When they kill you, you don't know what happened. I don't know, I've never been killed by a lion. But I always want to see a mountain lion, but I don't want them to see me first because I probably won't get a chance to see them. But after they sneak up and kill their prey, they roar. What do they roar for? Thanking God. Thank you for this meal, God. That's exactly what that psalm says. They roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. Just like you ought to do when you pray. Thank God for this food. Now, it's scary when they're thanking God for their food while you're looking at them, feeding them something, and they're looking at you. But anyways, all of God's creation praises God. God created us to praise Him. And I believe I put that on there. God created us to praise Him, but keep this in mind, that's not our soul or our main purpose. We are to praise. Everything God created praises. Everything God praises God, but that's not why He created man. Now, that's a part of our purpose, but that's not our only purpose. What was the main purpose He created man? The fellowship with Him. Which is really a good way to define what worship is. We were created different than everything else in God's creation to fellowship with Him. That was the first and foremost reason man was created, but all of creation was created to praise Him. And music is a part of that creation. That's not all of it. In fact, I read this past Sunday in Revelation chapter number 5. I'm going to read this section again. When we get to heaven, the scene in heaven, I can't get this out of my mind in recent days. In Revelation 5, beginning in verse number 8, it says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb," that's Jesus, "having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne of the beasts of the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven," and get this, everything in heaven, everything on earth, and everything under the earth. What's under the earth biblically? Hell, even hell itself, such as in the sea, that's all that have died before. The picture given in the book of Revelation of the sea and all that were in them. "Heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts, the four seraphim angels around the throne said, Amen. And the 24 elders representing the saved of all the ages fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever." What a beautiful picture of praise and adoration to God. That's what we get to do for all eternity. That's just the first page of eternity. God, I want to give you this. And we read the text, the verse already in our text in Psalm 149 and 50, and we could look at many other places. God commands us to praise Him, and He commands us to sing. Verse number 1 of 49, "Praise ye the Lord and sing unto the Lord a new song, and praise Him in the congregation of the saints." Where do the saints congregate today? In the church. In the Old Testament, so the synagogue and the temple. And today, it's in the church. Praise Him in the congregation. In fact, the most effective way to worship, if you want to include worship and singing, the most heartfelt praise is not listening to somebody up here entertaining everybody, but everybody singing together. Without putting their nose in a hymnal, just singing from the heart. most of the song. You know, it's amazing. Folks that have grown up in church still got to look at the hymnal all the time when they sing. And I'm thankful for a preacher that encouraged me to put the hymnal down and look up and sing. And you know the songs, you just don't know you know them. Huh? And you can just sing them out instead of muffling it in a book or whatever. Sing before, in the presence of God's people, in the congregation. God commands us to praise Him and to sing, to lift up our voice. And Psalm 51 talks about many shall hear and see when I repent, when I make things right. Now, I want to give you just some practical things here in the time that we have left, and some very centered things. And the first one is this: a Spirit-filled Christian has a song of thanksgiving in their heart. A Spirit-filled Christian has a song of thanksgiving in their heart. You know, most of the time when I've heard people teach on what kind of music we ought to preach or what kind of music we ought to listen to, they go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. But when I read that verse, it has very little to do with what kind of music we listen to. It has to do with what's in our heart. Ephesians 5:18, most of you know the verse. Be not drunk with wine, where it's in excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. And shortly after, the next few verses are going to show you what happens when you're filled with the Spirit. The first thing in verse number 19 is you speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always in verse number 20 for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we get that backwards, and I've heard a lot of people teach on music, and they say, well, bless God, you ought to listen to the right music so you can be filled with... No, if you get filled with the Spirit, you're going to listen to the right kind of music. In fact, you're not going to just listen to it. It's going to be in your heart. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and giving thanks unto the Lord always for all things unto the Father. A Spirit-filled Christian has a song of thanksgiving in their heart. When you walk with God and God transforms your life, you're not walking around with a gloomy, grumpy look on your face. Huh? You're not looking around with a sour look on your face. You're rejoicing. You got a joyful heart. Colossians chapter number 3 repeats the same types of songs that we ought to use, but there it says that we ought to teach them. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making with grace in your heart. And by the way, what is the difference between psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? That's the three kinds of music that we ought to be familiar with, not the country music and the pop music and the western and the rock and roll music, but what are the three kinds of music? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What's the difference? I've gone over this a couple of times. But psalms are Bible put to music. And by the way, not always put to music, sometimes just chanted. You look at an old hymnal, and they didn't have music in them. And a lot of folks, if they didn't have a musician, nobody could figure out some kind of tune. Sometimes they just play one tune and whatever words fit. A lot of them didn't fit with that tune, so they would just chant them. Scripture. Put to music or repeated in unison. Psalms and hymns. What's a hymn? We call it a hymnal, but most of the songs in there are not hymns in our modern hymnals. A hymn is, what did you say? It's singing of the attributes, teaching of the attributes of God. And a spiritual song, which is what most of the songs in modern hymnals would be classified as spiritual songs. Biblically, a spiritual song is a song of my experience and my relationship with God. And those are the three kinds of songs, and I believe that we ought to have a good balance of them. And most people are out of balance one way or another on that, but there ought to be a good balance of them. I want to mention this. See if you can finish this statement. There's a couple of ways to finish it. The way that I have is right. We'll see if you have the right way, what I like to call the right way. Music is a language of the... Somebody? What? You got to speak up because I'm... The soul. Music is the language of the soul. I've heard it said heart a lot of times. And some of you, what I heard you say just now, but it's the language of the soul. And by the way, our soul determines our behavior. We've talked about that with worship, our body, our soul, our spirit. Our soul is made up of our mind, our emotions, our will, our desires. All those things are our soul. Now, when you were born into this world, you had a body and you had a soul. You were spiritually dead. When you get saved, and we call it soul winning because you trust God with all your heart, with all your mind, with everything in you, you trust Him. We call it your soul is one to Christ. Then you become spiritually alive. You're born again. Music is the expression of the language of your soul. And the music in our life, or the worship, we could say, determines our behavior. And different types of music cause us to do different things. Now, a lot of folks today want to deny that, but there's a multi-billion-dollar corporation called Muzak that built their corporation on the fact that the elevator music you hear, the music you hear when you go into restaurants, I just looked up their website. You can look up music to cause people to act a certain way. You can play music in a restaurant to make them hungry. You can make them play music to make them want to leave. You can make music to control people's behavior. There's science behind that. It's known by the world, but Christians aren't smart enough sometimes to figure that out. And the Bible very clearly teaches it. And of course, the illustration that's often used is David cast out the demons in Saul by playing music on his harp. He didn't have to sing anything, just the music itself. I want to say this, that God always gives us a song when we walk with Him. There's a song for all seasons. Job says He gives a song in the night. Even in the darkest times, He gives us a reason to rejoice, and to sing, and to praise Him. He gives us songs when we're up, when we're down. God gives us song. One of the things I got in the habit a long time ago, and I mentioned shortly after I got saved, I went to the bookstore and got a Bible, of course, a good study Bible. I don't know if I still have that original one. I think I lost it somewhere over the years. And then I got a hymnal, just like the one in my church. And I still keep usually when I travel, I've got a songbook and a Bible with me. Those are two most important books in your life. And let me say this. Music is a language of the soul. One thing we need to understand when it comes to music, what was Satan's job in heaven? He was heaven's what? Musician. He was heaven's musician. Ezekiel 28, 19 through, or 12 through 19. Let me just read those verses. We won't take time to turn there because we're not going to have time. The son of man take up lamentation of king of Tyrus. Someone will say, well, he was talking about Tyrus. Well, he was talking about King Tyrus, but he was talking about someone far greater than that. Because he said in verse number 19 that he'll live forevermore and he'll burn in ashes in verse number 18. But he says... in verse number, let me just read a couple of verses. Verse number 13 says, "Thou hast been in Eden, in the garden of God." That's the devil. "Every precious stone was thy covering. the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes. That's describing a musical instrument. It's describing something more beautiful than our eyes can understand. And then it's describing a musical instrument greater than anything, thy tabret and thy pipes. That's your vocal cords. Were prepared for thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee. And he's describing Satan, and he's describing him not only as a musician, but as a musical instrument, how he was created. Now, this is important to understand when we think of the devil as a musician. Do you ever see angels in this present time singing in the Bible? We see them singing in eternity, eternity past, and eternity future, but we don't see angels singing at this present time. I know the Christmas story says that the angels sang. The Bible didn't say that. But the angels are not singing today because their musician's gone. I don't know who's going to be the musician. I think it's going to be Brother Ives when we get to heaven. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not sure who the musician in heaven's going to be, but... there's no musician in heaven right now. And people sing, the saints sing in heaven, but the angels rejoice, the angels praise God, but the angels don't sing today in Scripture, but they will one day. And let me tell you how the devil is used, and I'm just going to give you this very quickly, and as far as this whole idea of worship and music being together. Music has become entertainment, is one of the biggest hindrances in church today. Music has become entertainment. And I'm not talking about the ones that, and I already mentioned the modern churches that had the band and everything up there, but I'm talking about our churches. It's become a source of entertainment. Now, I'm all for doing our best when we sing, but I'm also all for when somebody gets up and sings a special, somebody out there just singing along with them. Well, that would be disrupting the service. No, that would be worshiping God. You see, when I sing up here, I'm not an entertainer. At least I shouldn't be. But in reality is, and I'm talking about art, there's something for you to think about. In reality, when we sing specials in church, a choir, whatever, I can say this, we don't have a choir right now, okay? Other than the Hicks Choir, they sang the other day. and I heard somebody out here shouting with them. But we say, well, they're entertaining us. And that whole mentality that they're artists, they're performers, that's the world. It has nothing to do with biblical Christianity, but that's the mentality that we have today, even in our churches. And I want to say that music affects, and I know I'm just kind of shooting a shotgun here, kind of hitting everything. Music affects every area of our being. And by the way, so does thanks and praise. It affects how we are physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. You know, someone who's sick, and I'm looking at Mike and Tanya right now, and I love you guys. I'm so glad that you're here with us. And going through sickness, she showed up to work yesterday. Man, you take it easy. She just has a good spirit, and God's blessed her for that. Physically, going through what she's going through. And praise and thanksgiving does that. When you have a good spirit, it's amazing how it affects you emotionally, how it affects you physically, and spiritually, and mentally, having a good spirit. Let me just mention this, the triunities of God. This is an interesting comparison, interesting study, and really we could come up with more things, but the first three are the main ones. I'll at least get through them, and then we can just fill in. God is a triunity. I don't like the word trinity. I use the word triunity, even though spell check tries to change it on me all the time. God is a triune God. What's that mean? What are the three persons of God? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you, is one of them inferior to the other? They're all equal. One's not more important than the other. One's not older than the other, even though they're called father and son. With God, there's no such thing as time. We think of father and son by age, but they're the same as far as their age, their strength, their attributes. Everything about them is identical. But I want you to see this. There is a designated order of subjection. God the Son is submissive to the Father. The Spirit is submissive to the Son. That doesn't mean the Spirit's less of God than God the Son. Doesn't mean God the Son's less God than God the Father. Man is a triunity. God created man in His own image. God created man with what are the three parts of man? The body, the soul, and the spirit. And we already mentioned that we're born after Adam was created in the image of God, the body, soul, and spirit. We were born in the image or procreated in the image of Adam. We had a body and a soul, but we were born spiritually dead. When we're saved, we're made spiritually alive. Then we're unite, we're complete in Christ. And all of them are equally important. And music is a triunity. There's three parts of music. Not the bass and the alto and the tenor. What are the three parts of music in general? The first is the melody. I went to school with somebody named Melody, but that's not the same. The melody. When we sing words to the music, we sing them to the melody. Now, traditionally, modern music has done all they could to erase this, just like they've tried to do erase everything else in God's creation. The melody. And then the harmony, which ties everything together. And the rhythm. Spell rhythm any way you want. I won't take it off. All right? That's one of those words I'm so glad for spell check. But the rhythm. Now, what part, which one of those three parts of music affects our body? The rhythm. That's what we march. I started to say the marching band, they got that bass drum. Boom, boom. Every time that drum, your left foot. It's just like the sergeant. Your left, your left, your left. That's boom, boom. When you dance, you dance to, when you move, when you direct music, you're directing it to the rhythm of the music. And the melody is where you put the words in. And the harmony is what ties it all. The harmony deals with the soul of man. That's what our mind is focused on. When we put words to the music, we put them in the melody. And then the harmony ties, unites everything together. That's the Spirit of God that unites us. And that's just a basic thing. And any musician that's honest would tell you that. And of course, the world today has turned that completely upside down. And instead of making the rhythm and the harmony the most important part of the music, what's become the most important part of music today? The rhythm. Boom, boom, boom. In fact, a lot of music doesn't even have melody. Doesn't even have harmony. It's called rap music. It's called noise is what it is. That's not music. That's only one-third music. The words they put in there, if I ever do understand them, they sound like cuss words, so I don't even want to listen to it. But that's the triunity. And again, God has an order. God has a system. And up until recently in our culture, because we had a Christian culture at one time, the European Christian culture and the American Christian, not that everybody was saved, but there was that Christian influence throughout the Western world that was in the proper order. But when that was all discarded, we reverted back to the pagan cultures without the Christian influence, and we just turned that completely upside down. And there we have the music of the devil today, where we twisted it all around, where there's no order, there's no pattern anymore. And the same thing is true with anything that God has created. God ordained a triunity and earthly institutions. There's three institutions ordained by God. And what are they? The family, the government, and the church. By the way, is one more important than the other? If we're going to live a peaceable life, all three of them are separate, but they're all important. Now, if we were to say one's more important, and I don't think we can say that one's more important than the other, but if we were, there's only one that Jesus is the head of. There's only one that Jesus died for, but that's not to say the others are not important. It's like having a three-legged chair. If you pull out one leg, it's going to fall over. It needs all three of them. If we're going to live a quiet and peaceable life, which Paul says we ought to pray for. And the home is a triunity. You see the pattern, the things that God established in a triunity. The home is made up of one man, one woman, and children. The man is the husband and the father. He's got dual roles. The woman's got the wife and the mother. And she's got 25 other roles too. And then the children. And there's not that one's more important than the other, but they're to be submissive in God's order and God's plan. And even the church. There's two offices in the church, biblically. What are they? Pastor and deacon. Is the pastor the most important honcho here? Huh? No. Most important. Yeah, what'd you say? There's a smart comment there. I'm going to get it later. The pastor, the deacons, and the members of a church. They're all three significant. And God has a plan for each one and an order for each one, but one's not better than the other. And even our governmental system, America's governmental system, was based upon biblical principles. So they came up with a triunity in our government. The three branches of government, when we used to be run by a constitution, which that was thrown out the window a long time ago. And what are the three branches of the government? We're going to say them in the right order. The executive, which is the president, the legislative, which is the Senate and the House, and then the judicial. Really, in my lifetime, the judicial has been the one that makes the laws instead of enforcing the law. Our president thinks that he's the king, but that's another thing. Oh boy, don't say anything bad about him. I won't say it, go any farther than that. The founders of our nation established that upon biblical principles. The triunity of God is to be illustrated in every area of our life, in our worship, in our music. Is the same way. Again, this isn't just about music, but that when we think of praise and adoration, many people gravitate directly toward music, and much of the worship I see in the Bible, there was no worship, no music involved. That's the center focus. And again, when we look at these five main ingredients of worship, to focus on one or some and forsake the others. Well, I'm just not a musical person. Well, God says if you're spirit-filled, you'll have a song in your heart. Now, it might be best if you keep it in your heart and not share it with everybody, but you ought to have a song in your heart. And when you have a song in your heart, it's going to put a smile on your face at least. It's going to help you to have a joyful spirit and attitude. But all five of these things are a part of biblical worship. And there's much study and much comparison that could be done if we were to take some more time to dig into them fully. And I've just been trying to introduce you to them more or less in the last few weeks. Father, we